This month is a very, very special month, and those who are members of this congregation are aware of it. If you're visiting with us, and if you've never been here before, if you know nothing about this church, let me just mention that January is a very, very special month. Because of the cross of Jesus, we're going to evangelize the world as far as we can. And you and I need to understand what this month and what is involved in this month. We'll talk more about this later. But this is the month where we emphasize mission work. And today I want us to talk about what we have done in the past. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the challenges that lie before us for the year 2017. So I hope you'll be a part of that. And then the Sunday after that, the last Sunday of this month, will be the time that we have that special contribution. Let me introduce the lesson by saying, God looks at this world so differently from the way that you and I look at it. You think about 1 Samuel chapter 16 that says, the Lord doesn't see as man sees. And so on the screen we have depicted the world, and we need to look at this world and see it like God sees it. And that's really will be the sort of the background of a lot of things that we'll be talking about this morning. But to introduce this lesson, let me tell you three or four Bible stories briefly. You know them, at least if you have much knowledge of the Bible at all, you'll know these stories. God had about 6 million people, maybe more than that, maybe not quite that many people down in the land of Egypt. And he needed somebody to lead the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And he gets a man who's 80 years of age. And he says, I want you to be the man. And if you're 80 years of age, you may put yourself in Moses' place and said, who, me? You really want me to do this? What do I have to give to you? I can't even talk. I've been out here with sheep, tending sheep for 40 years, and you want me to go down there and be the spokesman to lead all these people out of the land of Egypt? And then the Lord says to Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Just stop and think about that. He had a stick. Moses had a rod that evidently was used either to fight off the wild animals or perhaps a rod that could have been used to aid him when he was walking or something like that. Sometimes he'd have a hook on it that would have a staff that was a part of that. But he has a rod to use the Bible. And all he had was a rod in his hand. Moses, what do you have in your hand? You want to tell you what I see? I see a stick. You know what God sees? I want you to think about that, because God does not see things like man sees things. God saw that stick smiting the rivers. God saw that stick, saw that rod that Moses had in his hand being held out over the Red Sea all night long, where millions of people walk through on the dry ground. God saw that stick smiting a rock with enough water to come out to feed the Israelites for a year. That's a lot of water. Moses, what do you see? I see a stick. Now, you know, God saw that stick as a way to be turned into a serpent and to be a manifestation of the power of God. But even greater than that, he saw that stick as being visible, used visibly by God to accomplish his purpose. You see, God does not see things like man does. Let me talk about a giant. Let me talk about an individual who was nearly 10 feet tall. And the Israelites are scared to death of that giant. You know the name of that giant, do you not? Goliath. And there he was, and everybody that looked at that giant were afraid of him. They were all afraid of him. Every one of them was. And there's David. David, what you got in your hand? I want you to hear the point. I want you to hear the point that we're making. When he confronts the giant, King Saul tries to give him an armor so he would look like he was a mighty soldier. Wouldn't fit him because Saul was so tall, too big for the armament that King Saul had given to David. He had no sword in his hand. David, what do you have in your hand? I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a slingshot. And I got 5 stones that he picks up on the way to meet the giant. David saw his sling and 1 stone. What did God see? God doesn't see things like man does. God saw that stone smiting that giant. He saw that giant being beheaded as David takes the sword of that giant and beheads that giant. He saw the Philistine army running and in fear away from all that was happening there. Israel, Jewish nation, what do you see? We see a giant. God, what do you see? One slingshot and one stone defeating the greatest nation, perhaps at least at that time, Israel confronted. God doesn't see things like man does. Can I tell you another Bible story? They're following Jesus. And they are 5,000 men, not counting women and children. You reckon there are more women than there were children? Yeah, more women than there were men? Yep. Do you think they had 2.2 children each? If they're all Americans, that's the number of children they have. Well, yeah, there might have been 15,000. There could have been 20,000 people. There was a multitude the way the Bible describes them. And the Lord, talking to those disciples, said, we got to get some food for these people. And they said, Lord, if we had wages that men, well, there's just not enough money here to buy enough food. What do you see? The Israelites looked and they saw the multitude. They saw a totally helpless situation. And there's Thomas, and he said, oh, there's a boy over here. He's brown bagged his lunch, to use modern terminology. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that's all he's got. Man, what do you see? Whenever Jesus says, bring that to me, those disciples saw 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know what God saw? God saw himself being magnified and glorified because here was that little boy, and all he had was his lunch, and I'm telling you, been a lot of little boys wouldn't have shared his lunch with anybody if, you know, as hungry as they were because they've been following for 2 or 3 days. And what did God see? God sees things unlike man sees these things. That's the point we're trying to make. And on the screen, we'll put the widow's 2 mites. You know how big a mite is? I remember ordering one. I Googled it. I bought a widow's mite. I don't know how big I expected the mite to be. I expect it to be, and that may be why they called them, I expect it to be bigger than a termite. I mean, it wasn't much bigger than that. You understand? I mean, I've got it. It's glued to a piece of cardboard. If it weren't, I would lose it. I mean, you've never seen a coin the size of a mite. She's got 2 of them. What'd God see? The disciples saw people giving of their abundance, and they were amazed as they saw the monies that were given by those who were wealthy. And there is that widow's mite. And you know how God looks at that? Those 2 mites represent far more than all of these who've given out of their abundance. I hope you understand that. Because we're going to talk about Mission Sunday, and we need to understand that we've been doing this for about 13 years. This will be our 14th year to designate one Sunday in the month. But we need to understand in reference to Mission Sunday that every single dollar given, every single dollar given on Mission Sunday is devoted to mission work. And it's important to get that. That's what it's all about. It was 13 years ago that the elder said, you know, we've been giving about $50,000 a year, just taking it out of the regular weekly contribution to help in mission work. And so we're going to change the way we're doing mission work. We're going to come before the church, and we're going to say to the church, let's do more mission work. We don't have the money. Let's do more mission work. We don't have the money. And by the way, if we don't have $50,000 given on the last Sunday of this month, there will be some hungry missionaries. You know what happened if you're a part of this church? You know what happened if you were part of this church, because the amount that was given on that day overwhelmed the imagination, I believe, of anybody that ever even thought of how much was being given. You hear that? We're looking at it from our viewpoint. We think about it in relationship to us, but God looks at it different. God looks at it at his different. And so here's Palm Beach Lakes. And here we are in this church. We're a congregation of 450 members, and there's 7 billion people on this earth that are a part of Mission Sunday. I want you to think about that. Here we are. How little are we in relationship to this? How little are we in relationship to this? And yet the God of heaven looks down, and instead of us trying to look at this as the way God looks at this, or this, the way we look at this, may God help us to look at it the way that He looks at it. And so starting the year 2004 and continuing through this year, but the numbers are there about to be on the screen. You know how much we gave last Mission Sunday? We had that challenge before the church, some 120,000 or so, and all of a sudden on that Sunday, this church gave $156,283. Who would have ever dreamed it? Who would have ever dreamed that a church that, you know, that was given $1,000 a week to try to evangelize the world and be involved in reaching the world with the gospel? Who would have ever dreamed that on that first contribution that was given 13 years ago, this church gave, $125,000, and all of a sudden, we started giving. And the average contribution on Mission Sunday for the last 13 years has been $120,000. Mission Sunday lies ahead. And you and I need to think about what God is. The total given is $1,566,782. I want to ask you, 13 years ago, whenever we first started talking about Mission Sunday, would you have ever dreamed that this body of people here would have given $1.5 million to evangelize the world? You see, we don't see it like God sees it. God doesn't need our money. God takes our money and uses it and blesses us because we're using it. But how thankful we ought to be that this church has been involved. Can we look back just for a few minutes and talk about the little that we have done? The little that we have done. Do you understand from Mission Sunday money that we were able from the years 2002 to 2007 have a potential radio audience of 2 million people? Now, I'm confident that when we were on WCNO out of Stewart, in that radio program that we were using there, I'm confident we didn't have 2 million. But the potential is there. And it covered Palm Beach County. It covered Martin County. It covered Okeechobee. It covered all of the counties. Even reached over into the Bahamas. You know where that? Who would have ever dreamed that on a daily basis, 5 days of the week, Palm Beach Lakes would be preaching the gospel potentially to 2 million people? You know where that came from? It came from some individuals who said, we're going to do everything we can to get the gospel to everyone that we can. Think about in 2005 when we had that television program. Couldn't afford to buy the time here on the big stations here in Palm Beach County, the number to broadcast and even finding a time and a slot to broadcast. But we were able to get on a television station with a potential audience into the very homes of 300,000 people in this area. Thank God for cable television. And well, I know we didn't. No son who ever had 300,000 people, but the potential was there. And the Lord did not say, go ram the Bible down everybody's throat. Give them the opportunity. The expression used in the Bible over and over again, a biblical expression used is, come and see. There's something happening in this place. How blessed we were. How thankful I am that in the years 2006 and 2007, we had television ads. I remember some of those, and I remember how different they were. I remember one of them especially that says, it was a 15-second ad that said, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And there was a picture of somebody being immersed in this very baptistry. And then as he came up, the question is, have you done this? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the potential audience of 300,000 people heard that very question presented to them to try to make them realize? And then we designed a very special brochure and designed by this very congregation, and it was mailed out to 50,000 people with the plan of salvation on it. Then how thankful I am for the Spanish work that we were involved in from starting the year 2003 and going to the year 2010, the Hispanic work that we had going on. And that work, by the way, has because most of the members live down south, down the southern part of the county, they went down, started meeting in that area. There, by the way, they've lost their meeting place down there. They're back meeting in our building. You may or may not be aware of it, but aren't you glad that we were able to support that mission, that work among the Hispanics? Here's an interesting thing. Planting seeds. Are you aware that this church has had delivered into 1,026,800 homes? That magazine called Heart to Heart. Now, can you imagine going to homes and handing them a tract as attractive as that magazine, Heart to Heart, is, House to House, Heart to Heart magazine? 1 million homes. Many of them repeated, you know, maybe three or four times, 4 to 6 times a year, and it comes into their home. Are you aware in 1 year that we sent out 100,000 Heart to Heart magazines at a time? Now, what did we do? 3 times during that year? Isn't that amazing? Who would have ever dreamed it? God sees some things in us that we cannot even begin to dream about. And then aren't you thankful for the visible location that we have here with this building, and the fact that those banners on the side of the building made it very possible for individuals to read, and they're somewhat visible. Those trees sometimes getting the way that's there. But aren't you glad? And then think about what we've done in trying to reach folks in Palm Beach County by giving away tracts and car magnets and those license plates and those Bibles that you gave away. You know where that money for those Bibles that we had for you to take and give to others? They came out of Mission Sunday. Who would have ever dreamed that there'd be 200 or more cars driving around Palm Beach County that says, the Church of the Bible, or Back to the Bible, the Church of the Bible, Church on I-95. Who would ever dream that? Anywhere we've gained 6 members from that, and how many other individuals have seen it? By the way, if you've got one of those metal plates, don't lose your temper while you're driving and get to give this church a bad name. Not talking about anybody, but he has a dark blue suit on and a peach-colored shirt or something. And when I almost lost my temper, I drove as fast as I could to get out of there hoping he wouldn't see that sign. If you're here, sir, I'm sorry for what I thought about saying to you at that time. Isn't that great, though? People noticing this church. Who would have ever dreamed that that would have happened? You begin thinking about that, and your life will just really, your life will really, really, really be amazed in relationship to that. Then, as we think about what we have done, think about the little that we've done that's been involved in supporting people in schools of preaching. There are those students at the Ascension Bible Academy, and we're right now supporting a young couple from the Bahamas. This congregation has never met them. They may have visited us at one time, and that's Tavara and Alyssa Hannah from the Freeport congregation, and they're part of our support, and what a fabulous fabulous couple they are, and the great things they'll be doing. We partially support it even right now, Douglas Alvarenga, not as he's preaching full-time for the Hispanic work, We want that Hispanic work to stand on its own. But he's there working with them and using his influence in teaching the Bible class. And he's doing that. You know where that kind of money comes from? It comes from Mission Sunday. Who would have ever thought about the impact of our website? Amazing how many people come to our website and find, and we have some of the highest quality HD television cameras and HD production and the services that are broadcast here and then become available on the internet. Where does the money for all of these cameras come from? And all of this, it comes from Mission Sunday. Aren't you glad that we have that? Aren't you glad that every sermon that he's preached here, you can call your friend on Monday and say, you got to go to this website and hear what was said in that sermon yesterday. And you can do that, and it's here forever and ever. When you start thinking about that website, truth is not going to change, and these sermons that are preached in here, you know, 50 years from now will be as relevant then as they are right now. Aren't you glad that we were able to help the Belglade congregation? Are you aware of that little struggling congregation over there? Everybody in Belglade, four times this last year, received that House to House magazine. Aren't you glad that we were there to stand beside that sister congregation and try to help them in their outreach? And then we've also a part of supporting the Lord's Way. That's a part of our contribution. National television program hosted by Phil Sanders every Sunday morning. And just get on your cable at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning to listen to one of the finest programs. Let me just add in passing that in addition to that regular support that was given, you know, like on a monthly basis as a result of the money that came out of Mission Sunday, they got in some financial trouble this last year and were having to curtail their ability to broadcast. And they're broadcasting to every home in America, or to 200 million homes in America. It's remarkable what's happened. And so because of the abundance that was given by this congregation, over and above what we'd planned to give last year, we were able to write the church there and say, here's $10,000. We believe in that Search in the Lord's Way magazine. The little we have done, supporting 13 full-time missionaries in 26 countries on four continents. Do you hear that? Who would ever dream 13 years ago somebody would have said, this church is going to touch four continents on this earth. This church, through supporting missionaries who are full-time missionaries, we're going to be able to support 26 missionaries. Not fully supporting all of them, but being a part of 26 of those missionaries. And the names that are on the screen now are names that you'll recognize. Some of them you'll recognize and have such great, great fond expectation of. In addition to that money that sent mission work by sending full-time missionaries, this church has over the years supported dozens of mission trips. Dozens of mission trips. And some 35 countries on six different continents. And some of you been a part of that when you were planning to go on a mission trip, a short-term mission trip, would make an appeal to this mission fund, and the money was there for you. The Lord doesn't see as man sees. Who would have ever thought, listen, who would have ever thought 35 different countries on six different continents? The Lord sees Palm Beach Lakes different from the way that we see it. Let's be cautious, lest instead of being puffed up with pride, let's be cautious that we rather bow with hearts that are filled with thanksgiving and gratitude, saying to the God of heaven, God, thank you for using us. I'm glad I'm a part of Palm Beach Lakes. In addition to all of these, we have a very special relationship with the Apologetics Press. We've been part of that work since 1986, but in the year 2004, the men at that work came and they said to us, we need some counsel and advice. And so once a year, our elders go up, and it's not that we're overseeing Apologetics Press, but we're standing beside those men, and they trust the wisdom of this eldership, and they sit down and they talk to those men, and give them advice and counsel about some of the greatest work that's being done in apologetics, and that is the defense of the trustworthiness of the Bible and the discussion of evolution and creation. Four men are there. You'll recognize these names. They've all been visited this congregation. Dave Miller, Jeff Miller, Eric Lyons, and Kyle Butch. These individuals speak in over 100 congregations every year, and Palm Beach Lakes is very much a part of that. There's those publications that they put out, the monthly publications like Reason and Revelation and that children's magazine called Discovery, and these are available in the track rack as you leave all throughout the year. There are books, multitudes of books that they produce for adults and young people, and tracts for adults and young people, and videos for adults and kids, and e-books for adults and kids. There's the Bible class curriculum. There's VBS material. There's study courses, and it goes on and on. And listen to this. Coming soon, an apologetics Bible. What's that mean? Apologetics says it's the defense of the truth. And in a Bible that they're working on right now, at the footnotes at the bottom, there's going to be truth that the Bible is trustworthy. And there'll be the evidence that's there from archaeology. And there'll be scientific evidence that where the individual, as he reads the Bible, will have inside that Bible the material, scientific and archaeological proof that the Bible really is trustworthy. And when the elders met with the guys at AP, one of the things they said was, well, there's a project we're working on. We don't have the funding for it. The elders actually said, how can we help you? And because of that surplus that you gave last year, thank God, $10,000 of that Bible is going to come from Palm Beach Lakes in the production of that Bible. Who would have ever dreamed it? Who would have ever dreamed that something like that could have happened? And you look at the last statement that's on the screen there about Apologetics Press. 20 million hits, page hits, from 100, and I believe the latest number I saw was 135 countries. That's remarkable, isn't it? 135 countries. Or pardon me, I said not 135, 235 countries. And so as I thought about this, I Googled and asked how many countries are there in the world. And it depends on how you define a country, and the number they came up with is 257. You hear this? Palm Beach Lakes has a special relationship with Apologetics Press, and we make monthly contributions to them from the money that come in on Mission Sunday, and have this great association that is reaching 230 of the 250 nations on this earth. Who would have ever dreamed it? I'm thankful to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. How blessed we are in the mission work that we've been able to do down in Paraguay. You think about as the first team that went down with Chris Fry, who grew up in this very congregation, and some of you ladies taught that young man up and down the hallways here, and he was a part of that first mission team that went down to Paraguay. That second mission team, after Chris had finished his work, you know some guys by the name of Josh and Kara and Josiah and Vivian Blackmer, part of that second team. And they went down and did their work. And then Troy and Andrea from this very congregation went down. And by the way, they'll be coming home in February of this year. And we won't need American missionaries full time down there. Why? Because the work that these individuals have done in 13 years has planted the church. The church is growing. The church is self-supporting, is self-propagating. Are you aware? They've established another congregation, and they met this year to find another city in which they could plant the church without us being there, without us providing the funds. That church down there is doing it. The church has been planted, and there is a sister congregation. We're not a mother church, and they're the baby church. There's a sister congregation that is there in Paraguay trying to do, and perhaps doing it better than what we're doing here at Palm Beach Lakes, in being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and thank God for that. I talked to Josh about that beginning of the work in Paraguay, and he said those early missionaries that got there, and they repeated it when Josh was down there, we had been praying that somebody would come and help us. And sitting right here in the southern tip of Florida, a little congregation of some 400 members, and who would have ever seen us being a part of that? It is remarkable that there's that Bible Academy where there have been those students who have graduated from it, and they've trained just about all of the young people they have capable of training, so the school will cease functioning at least temporarily. Imagine those graduates of that, eight different students who've been through that academy. It's not a preacher training school, it's a Christian training school, and they've had each of them 2 years in intensive Bible study several days of the week. And now they're the backbone of some of these congregations that will be a part of that work. And Palm Beach Lakes was a part of it. Who would have ever dreamed it? And they're close to having elders. And that's unusual in such a short time for congregations in a mission area to even be talking about having elders at a time like this. And finally, the last thing we'll mention, though there are tons and tons of other things we could talk about of what's happened out of Mission Sunday, and that's Easter Island. You know, 2,000 miles from Chile down off in South America. Go 2,000 miles out in the ocean. There's a little island that's out there. To find the next land, you've got to go 2,500 miles. You'll be in Tahiti. But there are some people down there that wanted the truth. And I believe, Josh, the words that you used to describe them said, we were in darkness and we didn't know. We were trying to figure all of this out. And you brought the light to us. You know who the you of that is? I cannot help but imagine that God saw some people who were looking for truth down on Easter Island. And true enough, the church has begun. And it's not that large, but Robert Martin and Josh made the first trip, and Josh has made 9 trips in addition to that. Josh is carrying cases of Bibles down there. You know where the money for that Bible came from? You know where the funds come that allow Josh to make the mission trips down there? True enough, the church is small, but everything begins small. And how thankful we ought to be for Peaky and Uri and Anita and these Christians who said we were in darkness and you brought the light to us. God knew he needed somebody. And it's not that it would not have happened had it not been for us. But who cannot at least believe that perhaps the very odd situations that developed that ever allowed Josh to make that first trip down there would have been because the God of heaven says there are some people down there in darkness and they're looking for the light. Listen, and I trust Palm Beach Lakes to do it. I'm thankful that I'm a member of Palm Beach Lakes. I'm thankful that young people that you've been a part of that mission team when we sent out these mission teams. We've talked about those that we sent out, and some 50 of you have been involved in going to states, 11 different states, to help plant the church in those places. There's so many things, some we have to leave out and some we never put on the screen. Why? Because the challenge is before us. But let's forget the things that are behind, but let us not forget them without giving unbelievable gratitude and hearts of thanksgiving for brothers and sisters in Christ who 2 weeks from today will make sacrificial contributions. I have no idea what that number will be. But next Sunday, we're going to present the challenge for 2017. And I hope you'll be here. I hope that you'll be praying right now for Palm Beach Lakes. You see, the Lord has used little Palm Beach Lakes. And I believe with all of my heart, not that He has used us, but that He will use us. And the Lord says, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted. Not on the basis of that which he has, but on the basis of that heart. And he says, and God is able to multiply the seed that you sow, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I challenge every one of you to thank God for what we have done, but to be praying every day, God help this church. To be able to say, like the prophets of old said, Lord, here am I. Here we are, Lord. And we submit ourselves to you and commit ourselves to you on that day. We've looked backwards, and next Sunday we look forward. We now come to that part of our service where we extend an invitation so individuals can become children of God and become a part of the body of Jesus and part of a body that says to the God of heaven, use us. How do I become a part of the church? You believe that he is the Son of God, and you repent of your sins. You make up your mind, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to serve him. And when you've confessed your faith in him, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to the church that's doing all it can to evangelize the world. If you're not a Christian, you could become a Christian this morning. If you're an unfaithful Christian and you need to come back to the Lord, song of invitation is for you. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?